Hello and welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, we will recap the Rams win over the Raiders Thursday Night Football. What an awful game that was. We'll also preview the best bets for Week 14's NFL slate this Sunday. And of course, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first, we'll welcome in the betting Jesus, Kenny Betzbig. Kenny, I'm struggling today to get through my lines. How are you doing?
I see that, but it's all right. The betting Jesus is here. You know, have no fear. Yeah. I will make all okay on the betting front. I'm excited. We got an exciting show ahead, so I'm excited to get into it.
We do. We have a fun one, and if you're going to make everything all right, then where were you yesterday when the Rams defeated the Raiders 17-16? Baker Mayfield with the game-winning drive, having been there only for like one day. Josh McDaniels is awful. He's the worst coach in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. Not once, Kenny, but twice, he decides to punt on 4th and 1. The one time that they decided to go for it, they did a little QB sneak. They got the first down. The second time he didn't go for it on 4th and 1 is what led to the game-winning drive for Baker Mayfield, which, by the way, I had the Raiders -6. It would have been a push. Okay, fine. That didn't. And then I also had Van Jefferson under his receiving yards, which was also safe until he got the touchdown in the end zone. And then, of course, McDaniel also just opting not to throw the ball at all. I just felt like they were running Josh Jacobs into the ground, kind of like they're not going to offer him a contract. He was only averaging about 3.5 yards per carry. Davante Adams didn't even really get targeted in the second half after he completely torched Ramsey in the first half. Like, what was happening with the play calling in this game? I'm mad.
Don't you wish they could give like the fans at home an option to call some plays? Because similar to the Monday night game, which coincidentally, they both were down 13 points with like 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And somehow Tom and Baker Mayfield pull off the magic. Yeah, I don't know what Josh McDaniels is doing. He's got to go. Great offensive coordinator. Loved him on my Pats, but as a head coach, I mean, with the Broncos, he was terrible. And then, what is this, their fourth blown lead of 13 or more points this year? What are you doing?
There's no way that you let Baker Mayfield beat you when he's only – and there were some bad penalties on that drive, of course, that kept that going. But had they just gone for it on 4th and 1, they could have prolonged that out even longer, maybe score some point. And also, Derek Carr didn't have a great game. He threw that pick in the end zone to end the first half. But I'm just sick because I had three great bets that all of them should have hit. But between Derek Carr and McDaniels, it was 0-3. Beat after bad beat.
Yeah, and you hate when that happens because you're on the right bet. It's just not the right result. And that's the frustrating part. But as bettors, like, that's where you have to be disciplined and strong-minded, you know, and just say, what I did everything I did right.
Yeah.
It just didn't translate to the right results. But when people start getting, like, flustered by that and then change their process, that's when things spiral out of control and they, you know, start losing all their money.
Yeah. Hard to, well, I, by the way, I've learned my lesson. I will factor in the McDaniels aspect into if I bet the Raiders moving forward, which by the way, I don't think I will be doing. All right. Moving on, Kenny. Earlier this week, we previewed the World Cup quarterfinals, but your team, Portugal, is really looking like a powerhouse. Even with Ronaldo, on the bench. What do you think Portugal's going to do against Morocco this week? On Saturday,
I think we're gonna do. I think we're gonna win by murder. You know, I don't. I don't
like
think
the
we'll
Raiders
see
were
another,
supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we'll see another 6-goal performance from Portugal. I would love to see that, but 6 goals in soccer, we all know that just doesn't happen often. But I do think Portugal way more class, way more talent on the field. Morocco coming off that very high emotional win over Spain in the penalty shootouts for people listening if you didn't watch that game. And, you know, we see it all the time in sports. When you have the David versus Goliath and, you know, the underdog wins against all odds, typically in that following game, it's a very big letdown spot. So I think we'll see Portugal win that one pretty easy. I'm more worried about the following game when they have to play France or England. That's going to be a tough game for us to get to the finals.
Well, the USA didn't you know, fare too bad against England. So that becomes more impressive. So are you still feeling really good about your futures ticket for Portugal?
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, when I gave it out on this show with you, I think they were plus 1600 on Caesars. Now they're down to the third favorite. They're plus 600. They're tied with Argentina as the third option to win the World Cup. So yeah, I mean, odds makers are you know, just reinforcing what I think. I feel great about this bet. They look great. I talked about it before the World Cup started. They have a very good defensive scheme. I thought it was going to transition well to the short turnaround where these players had to leave their club team, come to the World Cup. And we're seeing the offense, all these talented pieces that I talked about and said it wasn't just Ronaldo anymore. They're all meshing and gelling really well, clicking at the right time. And hopefully they get us this win. It would be nice.
It will be real nice. Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time now for Capper's Corner. Let's welcome back in Kenny Betts Big, also known as the betting Jesus, self-proclaimed, by the way. No, not really. Okay, so let's kick things off here with the top total bet of the weekend. So there's a lot of games on the weekend ranging from the totals like 44. I feel like the lowest one is what? It's got to be the Niners and Buccaneers game at 37.5. Dolphins, Chargers all the way up to 52.5. What's the total you're eyeing for this weekend?
So kind of scary because one of the teams is one of the most prolific offenses, but I'm going to go under 44 in the Chiefs-Broncos game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen because now we've all are becoming aware of what's going on in these Broncos games. 11-1 to the under this season. If you go back to the start of last season, unders are 23-6 in Broncos games. That's insane. 79% cover rate. So yeah, you know, the Chiefs offense, very good at passing the ball. The only thing the Broncos can seem to do is defend the pass. They're fourth in the NFL in regards to pass DVOA. Yeah. So I think they'll be able to somewhat slow down Patrick Mahomes. I do like the Broncos in this spot as well. So I like the under 44 there.
I love this bet, and I'll ride with you on this one. One, because I don't think that the Broncos offense can do anything. In fact, when I was looking at prop bets today, you could take Russell Wilson under a touchdown plus 172. I thought about it, and I might still fire on this one just because that offense is so gross. But to your point, the defense for the Broncos has been really, really good. So I do think that they're going to be able to at least limit what Patrick Mahomes can do. So I like this under 44 as well. I'm taking a team total and I'm going to take the Bucks, your Bucks, under their team total of 16.5. This is at minus 105. I don't know what Brock Purdy is going to be able to do. Okay, we're hopeful. We're faithful. The faithful and I are that, you know, he could maybe have some big games, but big plays. But I don't know. I don't know what we're going to get from him. What I do know is that the San Francisco defense is going to be elite, as they have been. They have held, they're number one in everything. They've held teams to 3.5 yards per carry, 15.8 points per game, which of course is under this mark, 16.3 first downs, 26 red zone trips, and only 115 explosive plays. They're number one in every single category. And when you look at the O-line right now for the Bucs, you know, they've got what, Josh Wells in there. He's given up 6 pressures on 35 true dropbacks. Enter Nick Bosa. He's going to be feasting. Tom Brady's going to be on his back for a lot of this game. And when I look at how the Bucks have done against pretty good defenses, the Rams, of course, when they were a little bit more healthy, and the Saints, they've only put up 16 points. So I like the Niners to hold them in check here. I'm going to take them under the 16 and a half.
Yeah, I like that one. I didn't realize that we were crowning the 49ers as champions already on the show, but all those stats that you laid out, I mean, they are tough to beat.
Well, the defense it's the number one defense in every category in the NFL right now.
Yeah, the stat that jumps out to me the most is I saw in the second half they're like outscoring teams at like 72-6 or something like that.
Wow. Probably because, you know, for four straight games, the defense didn't allow a point in the second half. So that's, you know, if the Niners are still scoring, that would make sense. So this is going to be an interesting game. I know we're going to get into this more in the show. I've seen what some of your bets are. But I do think that it's not going to be high scoring. And I do like the Bucks to get under their team total here. So let's look at a spread. What's your favorite spread for the weekend? The biggest one, of course, is the Cowboys laying 17 and a half versus the Texans. And the smallest one is going to be the Lions -2. That's been kind of a tricky line for me, too. It was a pick 'em, got all the way up to 2.5. Now it's at 2. What's a spread bet you're eyeing this weekend?
Well, you teed me up perfectly. I'm going to go with the Lions -2. Okay. Yeah, it kind of has a similar feel to a couple weeks ago, right? When the Cowboys played the Vikings in Minnesota, it was a pick 'em, and you know we were all sitting there wondering, like, the Cowboys, like, favorite in Minnesota, and I'm sure every single person is looking at this line saying, "Whoa, what was that lines maker smoking that morning when he made those odds?" Because the Lions 2-point favorites over the Vikings? Are you kidding me? But Kirk Cousins 3-9-1 against the spread in toss-up road games, which a toss-up road game would constitute anywhere a spread of +3 to -3 since 2018. He's actually 68th out of 69 quarterbacks, so he's the 68th least most profitable quarterback in that span. I think the line is just screaming the Lions here. Like, I think you have to take the Lions just on what the line is telling you here, right? Similar to that Cowboys game. So yeah, I like the Lions a lot here. Vikings, they're 10-2, but in the last 20 seasons, right, teams with a 70% or higher win percentage who are underdogs in December, they're not very good. In the regular season, those teams are 48-66 against the spread, which is only 42% cover rate. You know, I'm no mathematician, but 42%, you're not making money.
You know, you're not making money at 42%. I've always just been saying that I think that the Vikings are frauds. And despite their record, you know, their point differential is trash. I think it was like +5. And there hasn't been a 10-2 team that had that. I don't even know when the last time that was. So it's like, and who have they really faced? The Lions are interesting because, you know, I was kind of down on the Lions earlier this year. And I'm a Jared Goff kind of disbeliever, but all right, I'll ride with you on this one. Lions -2. I might actually stay away from this game, but I'm looking at the Texans. Speaking of odds makers smoking things, Texans +17.5. This is just a ginormous spread. And yes, okay, the Cowboys are coming off of the 54-19 dismantling of the Colts, 33 points in the fourth quarter alone. Do I think that they're going to repeat that? No, I don't. This is just a principal play for me. I can't give anyone, let alone the Cowboys, 17.5 points. And the Texans did cover that double-digit spread versus the Eagles earlier this year. Houston's pass defense, actually pretty solid, ranking 10th in passing yards allowed. I can just see the Texans covering with like a garbage time field goal. So I'm gonna take the 17.5 points here.
I'm definitely gonna ride that one with you. I love the Texans in that spot. The Cowboys, you know, that was a close game in the fourth quarter. The Colts scored that touchdown. They're down 2 points, and then things just absolutely landslide it for them.
Saturday came into play.
not a good look for him, especially the way he blundered the fourth quarter in the previous game. So.
Who do you think is worse, Josh McDaniels or Jeff Saturday?
It's got to be McDaniels because he's like blowing games with the play calling. Like, they actually have the leads and they're just imploding on the guy. Like, what is he doing out there?
Oh God, I love that you said that. I love that it was Josh McDaniels is worse than Jeff Saturday. And you know what? I believe you too because I'm still pissed about. Last night. All right, let's talk some underdogs here. Some plus money underdogs. It can be NFL or college football here, although I believe I guess there's a few games this weekend. So the Texans, of course, are the big, I'm not taking Texans money line. I'll go ahead and say that. That's at +1150. What dog do you like? What dog do you like to win outright this weekend?
I mean, I was going to say, you sure you want me to say it, but apparently I'm the 49er mush, so you're going to love it. I'm going with the Buck money line. Are you kidding me? Okay. +158. You're giving me Tom Brady going home to San Francisco. Things are clicking off an electric fourth quarter comeback. Did you see how fired up that guy was on the sidelines? Apparently he's got a new girlfriend.
I saw how fired up he was on the sidelines. And then I saw him at the presser and I was like, whoa, what's going on with Tom? Like that guy looks, I was like, is he like hungover or something? I mean, I don't know. I guess age is catching up with him. He was hype on the sidelines, but by the time he got to the presser, I was like, okay, homeboy needs to go to bed.
Yeah. I love Tom, but something's starting to look a little off with him in those press conferences. I'll say that.
Like his eyes are like bugged out, right?
Yeah, but if you're listening, Tom, I still love you, and let's get this win. I just think this is a perfect spot coming home. Anyone who follows football knows how much Tom Brady has talked about. You know, he loves the Niners fan growing up, coming from California. So I just think this game means a lot to him. It's a big game for playoff implications, right? Like as bad as the Bucs have looked, they could be hosting playoff games at home in Tampa. So. Yeah. Which is just mind-boggling. Like they could potentially be hosting the Cowboys round one or the Giants round one, depending how things shake out the rest of the season. I think the Bucs need this game. I think, you know, that fourth quarter comeback going to start getting things clicking for them. I think they have a good chance to go in there into San Fran and pull out the W.
Look, I don't hate this as a play based on everything that you said. And you've got Mr. Irrelevant going against the greatest of all time. And, I don't hate the play, and I do believe that you are a slight 49ers mush, so that's totally fine by me. Yes. But I hear what you're saying. And look, I love Tom Brady, too, because he is a Bay Area kid. And, you know, his entire family's going to be there. They're all still living in the Bay Area. And, you know, it's not at Candlestick Park, obviously, but he grew up really loving the team. And the Bay Area really loves him as well. But I also think that this defense is really excited to go up against him. And this defense knows that they've got to win these games because we've got Mr. Irrelevant at center, who's ballsy and, you know, made some good plays. And again, I don't know what we're going to get from him. I'm faithful. I'm hopeful. But this defense is going to be ready for him. But as a play at +158, I don't hate this at all.
No, I was going to ask you, how like legendary would it be for Purdy to come in, you know, they win that game against the Dolphins and then he beats Tom? It would kind of be like when Tom Brady took over for the Pats.
Mr. Irrelevant no more. First of all, first-time quarterbacks in their very first start against Tom Brady, they're 0-6. The guy just absolutely owns first-time quarterbacks. So, and here's the thing. I think there's adrenaline that kind of kicks in when you're coming in mid-game and you just play lights out. And we saw that also from Jimmy G when Trey Lance went down. And then what was the next game? It didn't look so pretty for him. Of course, that was against the Broncos. But now this is against the Bucks, whose defense is starting to get back up again. It's a whole different thing to start the game than to come in, because now you've been thinking about it. There's been a week of press leading up to it. And so I hope that Purdy can kind of stay hot. But, you know, there's a lot of mental gymnastics that go on. So we'll have to see. But, yeah, if he beats Tom Brady, if he gets a couple passing touchdowns, I mean, the kid's just going to be walking with a little bit of a slight pimp walk, I think.
Talk about a potential for a real, real QB controversy. Like what happens? I'm curious your take on this. So let's say Brock Purdy lights it up the rest of the season, right? Come playoff time, Jimmy G's foot heals up. He's ready. Do you keep rolling with Brock Purdy or do you put Jimmy G back in? And then
they
even
put
next
Jimmy
year,
G back in.
Yeah. Okay, and then next year, let's say Purdy lights it up. Do you start with Lance or Brock Purdy? What happens there?
So, one, I've thought about all this in my head already. One, I think they still give it to their veteran guy. They still give it to Jimmy. You hear the way that people talk, that, you know, people in the organization talk about Jimmy G. You've got Nick Bosa, who doesn't really talk. I mean, there's been so many different stories about he basically says nothing in the locker room. He gave a big emotional speech about what Jimmy meant to him and what this means kind of for the team. And you hear people even like Brock Purdy that says that, you know, he's still talking to Jimmy. Jimmy's still helping him. The team was really, really upset about Jimmy. I think still give him the chance. Now, I think he'll be on a short leash if Purdy's balling out and they'll put him back in. But if he's healthy, they're going to give it to Jimmy. I truly believe that. When it comes to Trey Lance, it becomes a little bit more interesting. However, the Niners have so much invested in Lance, giving up all those picks, giving up on Jimmy Garoppolo when he's been playing so well, that ego-wise, I don't know. I think, you know, Lance is going to get the start just because he has to. But I've never seen Lance look as decisive and ballsy as Brock Purdy looked in that game. But again, we'll have to see how he does moving forward. But Brock Purdy also just has more experience playing than Trey Lance does. And again, the reason why they got Trey Lance was the incredible upside. Now, we haven't seen this incredible upside yet, but supposedly it's there leaking underneath the surface. So we'll have to see. But now to my dog of the weekend. I'm going with the Ravens plus 105. Not as good odds as you with the Bucks plus 158. But the Ravens were 4.5-point favorites on the look-ahead line, and then this crept, it's flipped, right? And all of a sudden now they're plus 2 with Lamar's injury, but Baltimore's offense has been struggling. They haven't really looked that great even with Lamar. So for this massive line flip for me, it just feels like a little bit of an overreaction. The last two Ravens games have been decided by 1 point, and Tyler Huntley, he had an 84.4, almost 85 completion percentage in last week's win over Denver, who has a really stingy defense as well. So to go from 4.5-point favorites to two dogs, I know it seems like an overreaction to the quarterback for me. So I'm going to ride with this plus 105 Ravens.
Yeah, I actually agree with you there. And one, I hope Huntley can step in because I have Ravens to win the division bets, but you know, it's a cool situation for the Ravens, because if you lose a guy like Lamar Jackson, oftentimes the backup is not going to be even somewhat close to Lamar Jackson, right, as far as how they play. But Huntley's play style is actually pretty similar, so it doesn't force them to, like, totally abandon their offensive scheme and change things. Yeah. So, yeah, we saw last year Huntley stepped in. He won some games for them, big games. I think they can easily go in there and get the W.
Let's go. Okay, let's move on to the prop market. What is a player prop for the entire slate that you like to go over this weekend?
Yeah. So sticking with the Lions, I think the Lions are going to ball out.
You love the Lions.
Yeah. I'm going to go Amon Ross St. Brown. Say that five times fast. What a name.
Yeah.
Over 82.5 receiving yards. It's minus 117 on Caesars Sportsbook. I mean, this just seems like a gift at this point. Minnesota is 29th in the NFL in regards to DVOA versus opposing number one wide receivers. You know, we've keyed in on that a couple times on this show and cashed in on some bets. They're averaging Minnesota's defense to opposing number ones, 8.9 pass attempts per game to the opposing wide receiver and 88.2 yards per game. So, you know, they're averaging over what this number is. Amon Ross coming off a game where he has 11 catches, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. I fully expect him to stay hot, fully focused, like a main focal point in that offense for Jared Goff. And I think we should easily cash that bet.
I love that bet. I'm going to ride with you on that one. I'm looking at Mike White. The big Mike White hype over here lives on. I'm taking him over 36.5 pass attempts. Now, we have crowned you as the betting Jesus, and you did predict that the Jets would win outright the last time over the Bills. This is a huge spread. I don't think that happens again. I'll be curious to hear what you think about this. But what I do know about Mike White is the guy likes to sling it a lot. He's only been in for 2 games. He has 85 pass attempts, okay, in just those 2 games. He had 57 attempts versus the Vikings last week, over 300 passing yards in each of his 2 games. Now, obviously, the Bills' pass defense is better than the Vikings. I don't think he's going to go 57 again, but I do think that the Jets are going to be playing from behind. This is a healthy Bills team. They definitely want to get their revenge on this one, and so he's going to be throwing the ball a lot. So I like him over his attempts. It's at minus 125 on Caesars.
Yeah, you gave this out last week, and I was sitting home watching the game, and I think in the third quarter, he was, like, way over his pass attempts already, and I was like, damn, I should have rode with Katie on that one.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I was going to say, I like it again. I mean, yeah, I don't think the Jets, one, you have the Bills coming off their Thursday win, so they have an extended layoff. I'm not expecting the same Jets performance, but I think we'll see a better offensive production from the Bills, which in turn will force Mike White to throw the ball. So I like where you're at with that bet a lot.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. The guy's just throwing. All right, now, so who are we fading this? What's a player prop that you like to go under?
Well, we're going to go Christian McCaffrey under receiving yards. It's 39 and a half receiving yards. And I just think the Bucs are going to have – I mean, when you play the 49ers, it's kind of pick your poison, right? It's, you can't stop everyone. They have too many pieces. So you kind of have to pick and choose who you're going to slow down. The Bucs defense is very good at stopping opposing running backs leaking out of the backfield. They're actually fourth in DVOA versus opposing running backs. So I think we'll see them kind of try and eliminate Christian McCaffrey from the game plan, especially with Brock Purdy at quarterback, try and take away a lot of those little dump passes for him. You know, don't let him build up confidence and get in rhythm. So I'm going to go McCaffrey under receiving yards.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll be – well, to your point, too, I think they're going to be just running the ball a lot more. And so I think – I still think he's going to have a productive game. But, yeah, maybe more just as a traditional running back. So I don't hate that play. And like you said, you pick your poison. You got to pick one of them, and that's definitely somebody that you want to make sure that you're guarding. I'm looking at Joe Burrow under 15.5 rushing yards. It's at minus 131. So in the last five games, Joe Burrow has averaged over this mark. I believe it's like 18.8, almost 19 rushing yards per game. But when I was looking at the stats, the Browns actually allow the least amount of yards to quarterbacks this season, an average of just 8.5 per game. The only quarterback that has gone over this mark was Lamar Jackson. And second to that was Herbert, who I believe had 13 rush yards. So we know that Joe Burrow struggles against the Browns. He hasn't recorded a win yet. I think that he gets one today, but I do think he's going to go under his 15.5 rush yards.
Yeah. Speaking of Joe Burrow, where do you put him in? Do you think he's deserved to be in the MVP conversation right now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
He's just a beast. And he's having a great season. They started off really slow. He also, you know, he's not protected. He gets sacked still all the time. And, you know, him and Ja'Marr Chase, they just make it happen. I was watching a podcast with both Joe Cools, actually. It was Joe Montana and Joe Burrow. And to hear Joe Montana talk about Jerry Rice and how he didn't understand how he did it, but whenever he got the ball, it was just a touchdown. Whether it was 9 yards or, you know, 90 yards, he could do it. And Joe Burrow kind of said the same thing about Ja'Marr Chase and how he just can make it happen and get to the goalpost. So, yeah, I do. I do. Long story short, yes, I do. I think he belongs. Do you?
No, yeah, I do. I wasn't expecting them to look as good as they have this year. But as of late, the Bengals are, you know, no one's talking about them. I think they're one of the best teams in the AFC right now if you look at what they're doing. And
they beat Patrick Mahomes 3 times in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy how they can do that, especially when you consider the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Chargers have never beat Patrick Mahomes on their home field. So it's pretty impressive when you can see what Joe Burrow is doing out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a stud. I had a hard time calling him Joe Cool, but now I do. I think he's cool. I think he's Joe Cool. And seeing him next to Montana was kind of a cool moment as well. All right, we like to make money on this show. And one of the best ways to make money is to dabble on the first touchdown score in a game. And now these are long shots, but that's why they have good odds. Who do you like to score first this weekend?
So we're going to do a little sprinkle, Salt Bay style. Yeah. We're going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown first touchdown in the Lions-Vikings
game. Riding hard on St. Brown.
Yeah, because I like when these teams have, like, you know, it's like a big matchup, like Justin Jefferson versus Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, I just think Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to go into that game hyped up, you know, like he's going to want to ball out against who everyone calls the number one wide receiver in the NFL right now, Justin Jefferson. So, yeah, I mean, he's Jared Goff's security blanket. Like, the guy's coming off games of 12 targets, 10 targets, 11 targets. He's getting the ball thrown his way, and that's what you need to score touchdowns. So, yeah, I think it's plus 550 on Caesars Sportsbook right now. So, you know, nice little payout. You know, put a little pizza money on there and cover your day's bets.
I love it. I'm going to go Brandon Ayuk. He's plus 900 for the Niners versus the Bucks. So he hasn't had a touchdown in 2 games. So for me, I'm like, okay, he's due. He had 2 touchdowns in Mexico City. He had the first touchdown. And when I was looking at when he has scored, he is either the first touchdown of the game or the first touchdown for the 49ers. Now, I do think that the Niners defense is going to be lights out and it's going to be hard for Tom. And we've seen that the Bucs offense takes a little bit time to heat up. So in my mind, the Niners are now scoring first. You've got Christian McCaffrey being covered pretty well. You know, they're going to be on Debo. And I feel like Ayuk just has a way of getting open. And again, he's had a lot of first touchdowns this year. So plus 900, I feel like it's a good sprinkle.
100%. And I like how, you know, for people listening, I like how you kind of approach that bet, because a lot of people, they just look and they'll say, ah, I think this guy scores and take it. But if you actually think of like the process and how you think the game will play out, you see that you have a lot more success doing those things. Like even like baskets in the NBA, right? Like, so.
I agree 100%. And especially when you look at these first touchdowns, or some people are like, oh, I'm just going to give it to the best player. You know, I think obviously the odds for CMC or Debo are going to be higher than Brandon Ayuk's. But yeah, I like to try to, I mean, look, plus 900, you gotta put your best foot forward here to try to win that one. So that's the first touchdown. What about just like an anytime touchdown? And mine is lame. Okay, mine is super lame. I'm just going to go first because mine's lame and I'm sure yours is better than mine. I'm going Travis Kelce. It's minus 120. The odds are not that great. Unlike my plus 900 for Ayuk, Travis Kelce is getting in the end zone. Okay, he's had 12 touchdowns this year and they're up against the Broncos, which is a stingy defense. You need a big body. And whenever they can't get anything going, who gets going? It's Travis Kelce. So I like him for an anytime.
Yeah, he kind of feels like last year with Cooper Kupp, right? Like where no matter, just take him to get in the end zone, he's going to find a way in there. You like to see Travis Kelce balling out, which again, we called that on the show. Mine is a little more exciting though. I'm going to go with Julio Jones anytime touchdown. Okay. I think it was plus 280 on Caesars Sportsbook.
Ooh.
And, you know, this is targeting this for a couple of reasons. The Niners defense, you know, you've talked ad nauseum on this show how good that defense is. And they are very good, especially at stopping the opposing wide receivers. Where their weakness is, though, is if you look on Football Outsiders, it's called DVOA versus other wide receivers, which is typically like the third option or, you know, the third or fourth option wide receivers. The Niners are second to last in the NFL against those guys. Who's the Bucs' third option? It's Julio Jones, you know, future Hall of Famer. So he's coming in that Saints game on the final drive. He had a huge catch, which ultimately set them up to win the game. And I think we'll see Tom Brady kind of go back to him in this game, reward him. There will be some open opportunities for him against that Niners secondary. So, yeah, I think Julio Jones has a very good chance to find the end zone.
I love that, and I'm obviously not rooting for Julio Jones. However, at plus 280, I might ride with you on that one because that's it seems like a no-brainer to me. Okay, so now let's do a little teaser. Three teams. I did a six-point teaser. Is yours – what is yours?
I did seven, which on Caesars is plus 130.
Okay, so you'll go first, 7 point, plus 130. I did a 6 point. Should have done a 7 point. I mean, I feel like I would feel more confident about this one, but tell us your team teaser.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Bucks plus 10 and a half. I think either way, I think this game comes down to a field goal. Whether the Bucks win or the Niners win, I think it's going to be a very tight defensive game, low scoring. You talked about the total set at 37, so odds makers think a low scoring game as well. I'm going to throw the Chargers in there plus 10 on prime time. That's for our producer, Owen. You know, he's a big Justin Herbert fan. And the Browns. Owen. Yeah. And the Browns plus 12 and a half versus the Bengals. Joe Cool has never beat the Browns. Browns got their new toy, Deshaun Watson. I think that'll be another game. Ultimately comes down to a field goal or whoever has the ball last. And a 7 point teaser on Caesars, you actually get that at plus 130. So you're getting plus money on that.
I love it. I can't argue with anything that you said here. I did a 6 point teaser plus 160. I'm taking the Giants plus 13. So the Eagles are favored by a touchdown right now, or maybe it's changed to 6.5, which is why this has gone to 13. I think the Giants can cover even by a touchdown. So for me to tease this up to 13, it seems like a no-brainer. I feel like these divisional matchups are always going to be really tight, especially with the NFC East that is so tight right now, and they just know how to play each other well. So Giants plus 13. I heard he liked the Texans plus a 17 and a half. So give me the Texans plus 23 and a half. Okay. They can't cover the 17. I'm pretty sure they can cover the 23 and a half. And then I like the Vikings plus 8. I agree with you. And I do think that the Lions can win this game. I don't think they're going to win by more than a touchdown. So I'll tease the Vikings up to plus 8 again. So Giants plus 13, Texans plus 23 and a half, and then the Vikings plus 8. That'll get you plus 160 on Caesars.
Yeah, I like that. I like that one too. Yeah, the Viking, I would be shocked if the Lions win by more than a touchdown. Like, I'm nervous that they're even going to win, but you have to bet them based on that line. But yeah, it's a scary one.
All right, so we'll go into mocks, locks now, our two best bets for the weekend. And you know what? You're going to give me the Niners minus 3.5 at plus money, at even money. I'm hammering all day long. I'm relying on this defense, and I'm hopeful for Brock Purdy. Give me the Niners minus 3.5 at even money. And then I'm also going to ride that Joe Burrow under 15.5 rush yards. The Browns have been really, really good at stopping quarterbacks from getting their legs moving. What are your locks?
Real quick, Katie, I just got to say, Brazil just lost on penalty shootouts. They're out of the World Cup. So Portugal is probably now the second favorite to win the World Cup. Things just got very good for the betting Jesus over here.
yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go Lions money line. You can find that minus 125 on Caesars.
Not
and bad. Again, this is just, you know, a lot of people, they say, Kenny, why did you take this, or why the Lions? When you start doing this often and you get to higher levels of it, you realize you don't bet on teams anymore. You bet on the Lions. And this line is screaming, smacking you in the face, saying you have to bet the Lions here. And it's funny. I don't know if you saw this. On Thanksgiving, when the Bills won their Thanksgiving game, they put a graphic up on the screen. It said, the Bills just won back-to-back games in Detroit, right? Because they had to move that game for the snow game. The Lions haven't won back-to-back games in Detroit since 2015. So they were getting blasted all over TV how they haven't won back-to-back games in their home stadium, but the Bills have just done it. So the Lions, what happens now? They're on a little win streak here. They just won last week at home.
Okay.
Now they got another home game. I think we're going to see the best game the Lions play all year. I think they're going to be super fired up. We already know they go to war for Dan Campbell. So I think we'll see a A-plus performance from the Lions.
All right. I love it. I love it. Is that – yeah, one more lock.
Yeah, so I was just going to – we'll go Bucks plus 3.5. I was so confident in the Lions, I just went with the one. We'll add Bucks plus 3.5. I think they win the game outright. If they do lose, it's by a field goal. That's coming down to a field goal, that game.
All right, Kenny and I go head to head. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Bets. We'll see you next week.